Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what is up, everyone? Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome to the Casual with PLR. This is PLR. We have a loaded show for you today. It is crazy. We were on assignment yesterday, so we had a best of show. We are out Thursday and Friday, so this is it. If you want to get a call in, this is the time to do it. Let me tell you some of the stuff we have today. You got your NFL power rankings coming today. We're talking Rays versus Astros, Nats versus LA, Cards versus Braves. Richard Sherman has to apologize. Anta is saying they're not going to renew their contract with the NBA over all the stuff that's going on in China. There's still so much more to get into this week. ASU, I have Herm Edwards Sound set to play. We'll get into all that right here on The Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for joining us. Happy Wednesday to you, one and all. And, of course, we are brought to you by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Shamra Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get a lock of backs directly up to a humidor. Your sticks will never, ever go bad. Sit, smoke. They watch one of the many televisions they have. They do have the NFL League Pass. Watch playoff baseball there. Watch college football there. NBA is kicking off soon. Watch all those games there. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Again, let me know PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Thank you for calling the Cave Show. Like I said, this is PLR. Let's open up the phone lines. I have 10 minutes of phone line time. So come in here and take it if you like. Call in number is 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law line. If you have something on your mind different from what I brought up, feel free to talk about it. Otherwise, let's kick this off. Thank you for holding. This is The Cave Show with PLR.
Okay, good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou.
Well, what up, buddy? How are you today?
Okay, so let's get right down to it. Who are you going to like in tonight's Game 5?
Okay, so we had Strasburg versus Bueller, Nats LA. I picked the Nats when it started. I'm not switching now. I jokingly Monday said I can play the Dodgers theme song, and it goes something like this.
Right.
And I'm sticking to that. I just still don't trust the Dodgers bullpen. I think the only way the Dodgers can beat Strasburg tonight, you got to get to him early. If you don't get to him early, if he's still on the bump in the 6th, 7th inning, we already know who's going to win that game. Because I do not trust Jansen at all for the Dodgers. I know that all arms for both teams is going to be on deck. So if you're going to tell me I have to go between Strasburg and those arms all coming back, giving me one or two innings what they have, or L.A. with Bueller and then coming back with Kershaw, those guys giving me one inning, give me the Nats. And then in the other game, I pick the Braves. I got to stick with the Braves. I know Flattery is going, and I always mispronounce the pitcher for the Braves, Bortenowicz. I'm rolling with them. I picked them to begin with. I'm sticking with them. Nothing's changing. And I'll give you this now, too. I profess the Astros were going to be the World Series winners. I'm not backing off of that. I know the Rays are pitching Glasnow tomorrow. They're going with Cole for the Astros. I don't think Cole is hittable. Give me the Astros. So give me the Astros, the Braves, and the Nats. And the Nats on the road.
Okay. I think I agree there. I thought maybe the Dodgers were going to take it, but now hearing from you, I think maybe you got a point there. I mean, I did not expect this to go to a 5-game series.
I just, you know what? Let's look at their bullpen. Their bullpen is garbage. And everything they do, is analytically by the book. The Nats didn't do that the other day. When Zimmerman hit that home run, they were technically supposed to switch. He wasn't supposed to bat. They were supposed to say, analytics say, they should have brought in a pinch hitter. They didn't. And guess what he did? He hit the ball out of the park. Because the Nats said, you know what? We're going to stick with our guy. This is our guy. To hell with analytics. You know what the Dodgers would have did? Analytics dictate this. This is exactly what we're going to do. I think sometime that comes back to haunt you. And I think they're going to do that today. If no matter what Walker Buehler is doing, once he faces everyone twice, they're going to come get him. No matter how good he looks,
right,
they'll come get him. And I just think that's a bad look. Now, if they don't, say Walker Buehler is balling and he's blowing people down left and right, and they leave him in the game, then I'll say, you know what, maybe the Dodgers have a chance. But they don't do it. You can almost analytically play them on a video game, because analytically you know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. Well, I don't know if this next article would be going to be considered good news or bad news or not, but he's coming back. Jets quarterback is coming back from mono. Oh, boy. I don't know. I don't know if it's a good idea for Darnold to come back now or not. Even so, they're probably going to lose anyway to Dallas this week anyhow.
I agree. Dallas has something to prove. The Jets are just not a good team.
No.
I mean, we just want to be honest. They're just not a good team. With or without him, they're just not a good team. And even if he comes back, you got to remember, you're bringing back a guy that hasn't played in 5 weeks. So no matter what, he's going to be a little rusty. So I mean, there is no right time to bring him back.
No.
He's healthy. They're going to play him. Although, honestly, if he's my quarterback of the future, I give him a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Aren't we carrying this a little bit with China – boycotting everything a little bit too far now. I mean, now the Lakers even canceled an event that's for charity. I mean, I think they're just playing hardball with us, don't you think?
I think that as Americans, we think a certain thing, and
yes.
I think we always think a certain thing. And I think sometimes, as Americans, we forget that every country doesn't do it the way we do it. And in this country, and I said this on a show I was on last night, in this country, we always say, this is the way it should be done, this is what we do, this is what we do, freedom of speech, freedom of press. I mean, there aren't too many countries, when you really stop and think about it, there aren't too many countries in this world where we can tell our president to beep off or beep you or tell our senators and our congressmen or say our police department beep you to them and say it on social media. There's a bunch of countries you can't do that in. And I think sometimes we forget the things we say in another country, or rather in someone else's home, those words are going to have consequences. So I believe and I stand for what Commissioner Adam Silver said. He has a right to say what he wants to say. And the NBA will support his right to say it, although they're not backing what he said. But see, to China, it's not a separation. Either you denounce him and denounce what he says, or we're out. And I think the whole thing with this is, over time, cooler heads will prevail. But China is not a country that's going to say, we need the United States of America. And we definitely don't need the United States of America's basketball. And if we're talking about talent, yeah, there's talent and money, two different things. The NBA loves the money stream from China, and they love the eyes and the television package and all that from China. Talent-wise, they probably could give less than that, because it's not like there's a flood of talent coming out of China to play in the NBA. Money-wise,
that's
where there's a problem. But I will tell you this. If I'm the NBA right now, I pull everybody out. Because I think if the Lakers are going to play the Nets, and only 12 people, 12 to 20 people showed up at the at their bus to cheer them on, and none of them wanted their faces seen, I think it would be a bad look if they played a basketball game in China in front of an empty gym. I think that's a bad look. So I say, you know what? Let them get wait till they get out of their feelings. Everybody come home. Because what's going to be gained now? There are, one of the stories I was going to say, Anta, the gym shoe company, who has deals with, I know with Klay Thompson and I think Gordon Hayward, stated earlier today they're going to halt all contract renewals with the NBA. So they're basically saying, we know how popular NBA guys are here. We don't care. We could care less. You're not going to come over here and say what you want. And if you're, and if your commissioner's not going to, you know, have harsh words to say about one of your guys saying it about our country, we're not dealing with you. Let's pull everyone out. Pull everyone out of China right now.
I get it. Okay, I know you got a split, so we'll just leave it at that.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, if you have one more, I got a minute because I am on vacation the next 2 days. So if you got one more,
right,
we'll happy
we'll enjoy it. So we'll talk again after the week is over.
All right, buddy. See you on Monday.
All right.
Good friend of the program, Lou. Let's step away just for a second, pay a couple bills. We'll be right back with you.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So, let's talk a little college football before we get into the power rankings and the picks and all that stuff in the NFL. Let's talk a little ASU football right off the bat. And actually, let's change that. I want to get something off my chest about the latest poll, the college football poll. I'm not a fan of the hypocrisy that goes on in the voting for the top few picks. So going into last week, Clemson was the number one team in the country, and Alabama was number two. Clemson had a bad game against North Carolina, but they still won the game. And they were punished for that. Alabama, on the other hand, beat Ole Miss 59-31. So when I'm looking at this, Ole Miss, it's a bad team. With that loss, Ole Miss is 2-3. They're not even a 500 team. Before that game, Alabama played Southern Mississippi. You know, the powerhouse, the directional Mississippi. Before that, they played South Carolina, another team with a sub 500 record. Before that game, the powerful Crimson Tide played the New Mexico State Aggies. New Mexico State is a terrible football team. They're already 0-6. Already 0-6. Before that game to kick off the season, Duke beat up, you know, that powerhouse? Duke, oh wait, we're not talking about basketball? They beat up the Duke Blue Devils, who may be the only team with the 500 record that they played already. And they're not that good. So, here we go again. We're going to reward Alabama for beating up on some terrible teams. And I'm not saying that Clemson is playing all these powerhouses, but we want to give Alabama credit for beating up an SEC Mississippi team that's terrible and beating up a South Carolina team, which is terrible. But then we don't want to give credit to Clemson for beating up a Texas A&M team because we're going to say they're not very good. What kind of hypocritical bullcrap is this? So we flip-flop them out of the number one position? I don't get it. I just don't get it. It does not make sense to me. And I wish there was someone that could make it make sense to me. So now A&M gets Alabama. So if A&M plays Bama really tough, and Clemson blows out their opponent, do we give A&M more credit, or do we say that Clemson's better? A&M is 3-2. So are we going to say if Clemson blows out their opponent this week and Alabama just barely gets by A&M, that we flip-flop them back? No, we're not going to say that, because you know what we're going to say? We're going to say A&M wasn't as good as we thought they were, and Clemson should beat Florida State by a whole bunch because that's who they have. This thing is skewed for one reason. The SEC rules college football, and no matter what they do, no matter how they look, no matter how bad they are, we'll say, oh, well, that's just them beating up on everybody. So that's why I hope Bama loses to A&M. I hope Georgia slips up somewhere. I hope LSU slips up somewhere. And it's not because I dislike any one thing about those schools. It's just I'm sick of the bias that's given to that league over and over and over. LSU plays Florida this week. Someone's got to lose. LSU has Auburn. LSU has Alabama. LSU still has A&M on the schedule. So we'll see how this all shakes out. And I don't know how Alabama gets out of playing or gets into playing the easiest part of the schedule all the time. After A&M, they get Tennessee. Then they get Arkansas. Then, yeah, they finally get LSU. But then they get Mississippi State. And then before they play Auburn, they play the Western Carolina Catamounts. No one is saying that they're not the best team in the land. No one's saying that. But it sure would be nice if they could prove it by playing a tougher schedule. If LSU goes ahead and wins out, or if the only loss they have is, say, to Florida, or say the only loss is to Alabama, and say it's a close loss, a 2-point, 3-point loss, don't you almost give them more credit because they actually played someone? I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is. On this side of the world, though, ASU plays Washington State. Washington State is known for putting points up. Mike Leach and his team always puts points on the board. And so they'll be coming into Sun Devil Stadium, playing ASU, 18th ranked, coming off of a bye week. Bye weeks are always tricky. It gives you time to heal up, but there's a lot of other side stuff that goes on with it. I said last week against Cal that that was a must-win game, and I really did believe that. And I think this sets this season up now beautifully for ASU. I think it sets the season up beautifully for them now, because not only do you get this game at home, but it's the perfect thing to get before you go to a team like Utah. Now, before the season started, a lot of people worried about Utah, and I still do. But I will say this. If you go on the road and you beat Michigan State, and you go on the road and you beat Cal, Utah plays very similar to that. Hit you in the face, smash mouth type football. If ASU can go to 5-1 and somehow find a way to handle Utah and go to 6-1, SC, Oregon State, UCLA, SC, and Oregon State should all be real winnable games. And then we're talking 9-1 with Oregon coming to town. Changes everything. Changes everything. That's controlling your own destiny type stuff. Because, yeah, they lost to Colorado. But if they can handle it, SC and Utah and UCLA and their team in Tucson, that sets them up beautifully to do some big things in the Pac-12 South and in the Pac-12. But back to the bye week, a lot was said. I want to play what Herm talked about with the bye week and what he talked about coming up against Washington State.
I made the comment to our football team that, you know, sometimes bye weeks are really good, but they also can backfire on you, too, if you don't get yourself ready to play. Oregon had a really tough opponent in Cal. They were playing at home, and the score was 7-0 at half. And so I try to give them a warning. Now, hey, this bye week's really good. You get rested up. But you got to get into the mode of playing football again, and that's kind of what hurts you on a bye week. And it happens in the NFL as well. You know, bye weeks are great. Players love it. Coaches love it. You get to look at yourself. You evaluate your team. You evaluate all the things you'd like to do better. But at the end, emotionally, there's a little bit of a letdown because you're used to playing every week. You're used to preparing every week. So now we've missed a week of that, and now we've got to start preparing for a really good opponent, especially offensively. They're averaging about 44 points a game. They do a good job on third down. They keep the ball, and they score a lot of points. These guys score 224 points. So they have a way of getting the ball in the end zone. Don't like punting a lot. 11 punts, I think, all season. So that tells you kind of what type of offense they are. Defense now has made a little bit of a change. Don't know exactly what they're going to be. Now, I do know this, players don't change. So the players are the players according to what he wants to do. But I'm sure they're in good hands. When you make a change like that, it always kind of brings shockwaves to your football team. But knowing this team and their pedigree, these guys have won an average of 9 games in the last 3 years. Coach Leach has done a really marvelous job up there creating an atmosphere of winning. So they know how to win. They've had 2 tough losses. I told our football team they will come in here and they will be at their best. They will be at their best. And so we better be prepared for that when we play.
That sound courtesy of my main man, Mike Caratenuto. Appreciate you grabbing that for me. Herm Edwards, head coach of ASU, and he's right. But the one thing that Herm Edwards has said, and I've always quoted it, and I'm going to keep quoting it. Defense and running the ball. If you can do those two things, you can be just about anybody. And what do you do when you're playing a high-octane, high-powered offense? You keep them off the field. You don't keep them off the field by throwing 60 times like they do. You keep them off the field with sustained drives, running the ball, and keeping the ball from going to the other side. So we'll see what happens. This should be a big one this week. Washington State versus ASU. Let's switch gears. I just want to touch on the NBA thing one more time before I let this go. I really don't think that there's a winning situation now for the NBA. I really think it's time for them to pull out. I really do. I just don't like the look. I don't want to see NBA teams playing in front of an empty gym in another country. I think it's a bad look and it's a bad feel. I think the only thing that's going to help this situation right now is time. Time and space. Space and time, however you want to put it together. I think that's the healer right now. And I think that's the only thing that's going to help this situation. We'll see what the NBA works out. Adam Silver is a beyond more than competent commissioner, so I think he will do a good job and he'll figure out what's right for the NBA. Let's get over here to football. Football. Let's do this power ranking. And no, my number 10 pick is not a homer pick. I do have Chicago. That defense is too good, even though they look mortal against Oakland. Offense looked mortal against Oakland. But I still think every team has a stinker. Throw them at number 10 this week, down five slots. Down six slots from number four last week. At number nine, I haven't thrown the Dallas Cowboys out with the dishwater. I think they need to get back to doing what they do. Run the ball. Stop being cute. Run the ball. We hear that so much. Team's getting cute. Everybody want to get cute. Everybody want to get cute. Let's get cute. Let's run a triple option flea flicker from the one. Everyone wants to be cute. Tired of being cute. Run Zeke. Run Zeke this way. Then run Zeke that way. Then run Zeke this way. Then run Zeke that way. Oh, yeah, I just fixed your problem. Number eight, Philadelphia. And Buffalo, I'm sorry. I really want to get you off seven because all you do is win. I just think there's some other teams better than you. Basically, I'm still not in love with your quarterback, but I love the way you play defensive football. And I can't believe I actually questioned it before the season started. You play some good football. You are a playoff team. You are a team that's for real. Number six, Seattle. If I was in New York, I would just be saying, Russell Wilson. That's all you can say, man. Defense is playing good, and Russell Wilson is playing like an MVP. It's really going to come down right now if the season were to end between him and Christian McCaffrey. I think Christian McCaffrey is a true MVP because he's doing it without a quarterback, basically. But you know the league. They'll always find a way to give it to a QB. Number five, I have KC. Bad loss, but they're still really good. Still really good. And what happened to them with Indianapolis? Huh. They ran the ball and kept Patrick Mahomes off the field. It's crazy how that works. San Francisco, number four. They're for real. If you think they're not for real, find out this week because I have them in an upset. I'll get to who they're playing in a second. Green Bay, they walked into Dallas and they just beat the hell out of them. The Cowboys. And what did Green Bay do? They ran the ball. And then they ran the ball. And then when it got done, they ran the ball some more. New Orleans had a bye, and New England, until they lose, I don't see where they're going to lose. So they're still my number one team. So that leaves only one other thing to do. Let's get these picks. Let's get them in. Let's get them cracking. The Giants play the Patriots tomorrow. The Giants are like an 11-point dog or something like that. And I think it's going to be greater than that. There's no Saquon Barkley, just Daniel Jones, a rookie QB against New England. Give me New England. Panthers, Bucks. Bucks are playing better. Panthers are playing well. Jameis Winston, an interception waiting to happen. Christian McCaffrey, like I said, I think he's the MVP. Chris Goodwin, catching passes. This game is really up in the air. But give me Carolina because they can run the ball. Seahawks go to Cleveland, Russell Wilson. Will Cleveland run the ball with Nick Chubb? Will they try to keep Russell Wilson off the field? Or will they put Baker out on the island again? I don't know. Either way, give me Seattle. Texans come to KC. I think this game will be a shootout. The Texans' offensive line sucks. Chiefs' defense is nothing great, but I'm going to roll with the Chiefs at home. Redskins' Dolphins. Can I say a tie? Dolphins have the best shot to win a game. They're a 3.5-point dog. Let me tell you how bad everyone thinks the Dolphins are. They're a 3.5-point dog to a team that hasn't won a game, that fired their coach last week, and they have no idea who they're going to play at quarterback, and they're on the road. I guess I'll take the Dolphins in an upset. Eagles go to the Vikings. This, I think, might be the game of the week. Both teams seem like they found their stride. Vikings are at home. That's the only reason I'm going to give them a nod. Saints at the Jags. Jags are actually favored to win this game, believe it or not. I think they can run the ball on the Saints. Give me the Jags in an upset. The Ravens and the Bengals suck. Give me the Ravens. Niners go to the Rams. That's the game I was about to tell you about. Give me the Niners in an upset over the L.A. Rams. Nah, I don't like the way Jared Goff is playing right now. I don't think Todd Gurley is healthy. Give me the Niners. You keep the points. Titans-Broncos. This is one of those games I wish they didn't play each other. Give me the Broncos. They're at home, mile high. Excuse me, I think the Titans are going to run and try to keep them off the field, but give me them anyway. Dallas Jets. I know everything is breaking right for the Jets. They get their quarterback back. I don't think I would start Sam Darnold yet, but he's there. I bet Zeke touches the ball at least 25 times. Give me the Cowboys. Steelers play the Chargers. In L.A., I'm going to take the Chargers. Steelers, I'm going to get third-string quarterback. So give me the Chargers in that game. Lions-Packers. Packers at home. Give me the Pack. And give me the Cardinals to win game number two. The Falcons are garbage as well. And the Cardinals, even though they're a dog at home, the Falcons' defense is god-awful terrible. So, yep, give me that as well. All righty, folks. That's going to wrap it up. We are on vacay until Monday. Best of show tomorrow. Best of show on Friday. But we will be back live Monday. Slew of guests. Whole week set up for us. Can't wait to get back. We'll have the entire NFL and college. Find out what's happening in these playoff games for baseball, because by then, we'll be into the next round. So everyone, please, please enjoy your weekend. It should be a lot of fun this weekend. A lot of games, a lot of football, basketball is back, baseball, and maybe we'll have some type of wrap-up on all this craziness that's going on with China. Make sure you're checking us out on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. You get me directly at PLR on Sports. Check the Twitter, because I also co-host another show. Look for that as well. Look for us on Casual Sports Network every day at 3 o'clock. And if you miss any show at all, you can always go to the Sports Cave with the K.com, click Listen Live, and it will allow you to any show you want to listen to. And we do have several shows on the website as well. Until next week, this is the K Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone have a great weekend.